Room with Roger Stone. President Trump has extended an olive branch to North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
North Korea's sixth test of a nuclear device and its missile launches are a threat not only to the people of South Korea, but to the people all across our globe. We will together confront North Korea's actions and prevent the North Korean dictator from threatening millions of innocent lives. He is indeed threatening millions and millions of lives, so needlessly. North Korea is a worldwide threat that requires worldwide action. We call on every responsible nation, including China and Russia, to demand that the North Korean regime end its nuclear weapons and its missile programs and live in peace. As the South Korean people know so well, it's time to act with urgency and with great determination.
But Japan's Prime Minister Abe brought the sobering reality to the foreground.
North Korea has used those talks just to gain time to further develop the nuclear program, as well as missiles. So North Korean dialogue just for the purpose of dialogue is meaningless. That is our experience.
While North Korea claims that it may or may not engage as they struggle to buy more time after 21 defectors from Kyulju County, where the Pungyiri underground nuclear test facility is located, have said 80% of trees that are planted die in underground wells have run dry. And North Korea's nuclear test site has been turned into a wasteland where babies are born with defects, according to interviews conducted by the Research Association of Vision of North Korea. The Independent reports the defectors, which include one person who claimed to have experienced two nuclear tests in October 2006 and May 2009, said locals were not warned in advance. They said only family members of soldiers were evacuated to underground shafts. Ordinary people were completely unaware of the tests. Other sources said residents from Kyulju have been banned from making hospital appointments in the capital since the most recent nuclear test. Officials are reportedly attempting to contain leaks from the area by arresting anyone caught boarding trains from Kyulju with samples of soil, water, or leaves and sending them to prison camps. Meanwhile, 40,000 U.S. troops stand ready in Japan. Nearly 24,000 are stationed along the DMZ.
Thank you, Minister Song, and I'm here today to reaffirm the United States ironclad commitment to the South Korean people. This visit today to this demilitarized zone portrays in very strong terms the difference we see between two nations. To the south lies a vibrant country, a vibrant economy, a free country, and it's underpinned by peace-loving members of a free society. Behind me, to the north, an oppressive regime that shackles its people, denying their freedom, their welfare, and their human dignity in pursuit of nuclear weapons and the means of delivery in order to threaten others with catastrophe. North Korean provocations continue to threaten regional and world peace, and despite the unanimous condemnation by the United Nations Security Council, they still proceed. And as the U.S. Secretary of State Tillerson has made clear, our goal is not war, but rather the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Also, the Navy's 7th Fleet, the largest deployed force of the Navy, an array of the Air Force's tactical and surveillance planes and special operations helicopters, and 12 nuclear-powered submarines are prepared to engage the North Korean nuclear threat. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.com.
Is the War Room. Welcome back. This is Roger Stone. I was honored to be with you on the Alex Jones Show. And now on the other side, I'm joined by my sidekick, my colleague, one of the best dressed young conservative journalists in America today. And that would be my friend Owen Scheuer, who is displaying a jaunty 1776 T-shirt. Now, the T-shirt jacket thing comes right out of Miami Vice and is acceptable in the very northern parts of Wisconsin and some places on the south side of Boston. But other than that, not really a look I love, but the T-shirt more than makes up for it. You know, Owen, when I lived in Washington, D.C., and I was a lobbyist at the celebrated firm of Black, Manafort, and Stone, we were living, a very high life. There's no question. We're five-star restaurants, the finest hotels, the very best liquors, the finest
nicest
cigars. Some very fine Savile Row or custom tailoring. Manafort always preferred Italian as opposed to English tailoring. I remember that I would eat at a place called the Fairfax Hotel, which was on Embassy Row and was kind of a posh watering hole for the movers and shakers, a place to be seen. I remember dining there one night with my wife and Pat Buchanan and his lovely wife, Shelley. But I often saw the Saudi ambassador, whose name was Prince Bandar, referred to by Barbara Bush as Bandar Bush, as he manipulated the enormous influence of the Saudi Arabians during the Bush days. The way they used their money, the way that they wielded power to, for example, spirit the bin Laden family out of the country on the day after 9/11 under FBI Director Robert Mueller, or shut down investigations into the situation in surrounding 9/11. That's why it's very important to pay attention to what's going on in Saudi today. The man you just saw was the Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He is the son of King Abdullah Aziz, and he maneuvered his own brother out of the succession of power only 6 months ago. Do not underestimate the new young prince. He maneuvered Mohammed bin Nayef, who was next in line for the Saudi power, out of the way, and now has launched an extraordinary purge, cleaning out the old order of autocrats, princes, and other major financiers who were deeply in bed with the globalists, with the Bush family, and who, most importantly, looted the country of millions. By launching this anti-fraud and corruption crusade, bin Salman is signaling it is a new day in Saudi. Sources tell the InfoWars crew that the next move will be military assaults inside the mosques at some of the most radical Islamic clerics who the government has tracked doing business with Iran. As you know, the Iranians launched an actual rocket across the Saudi capital, only to have it blown out of the sky, which shows me that I have a higher confidence in the technology of the Saudi military than I do the bumblers who have been appointed to high military office by Barack Obama and who will remain in place, sadly, in this Defense Department. The one question mark being James Mad Dog Mattis, a man who perfectly affects the Douglas MacArthur hairstyle and may be the greatest general since MacArthur. We shall see. So, Owen, it's very important that people understand this shift that's going on in Saudi and what it means for the United States.
Well, I think the incredible thing here, Roger, is that we are seeing not just an American, a great American renaissance here in the United States that really got to a tipping point, I think, that sent it over the edge with the election of Donald Trump. You're seeing the Brexit. You're seeing a young conservative get elected in Austria. You're seeing Catalonia want to declare its independence from Spain and the EU. You're seeing Saudi Arabia wanting to clean house and have a drain the swamp of their own, if you will. You have Brazil, where Operation Car Wash, Java Jato, continues to go on. So I think that the people worldwide, Roger, are waking up to corruption. They're sick of the corruption. They know their government has become corrupt. And Trump, as was said in South Korea yesterday, is the leader of the world in the drain the swamp that's now happening worldwide, I think, and that you're now talking about in Saudi Arabia.
No, I think you're exactly right, Owen. Now, interestingly, we learned a lot about history from these recent JFK documents that were declassified. But yesterday I learned one of the most extraordinary factoids that now checks out entirely. That is the narrative of the Bay of Pigs. We are told by the Central Intelligence Agencies and their lackeys in the media that John F. Kennedy lost his nerve and would not order air support for the Cuban rebels who were charging the beaches in the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. What they missed, which they don't tell us, of course, is that the entire operation was based on the premise that this was supposed to look like an indigenous uprising of anti-Castro Cubans. And what we did not know until recently is that John F. Kennedy had left a standing order in place to have anti-Castro Cuban pilots fly unflagged, meaning not marked as the United States, B-29s, a fleet of at least 22 of them from Nicaragua to deliver pre-dawn airstrikes on Castro's small air force of T-33 jets that were antiquated before the invasion even began. This order was called off by McGeorge Bundy, the national security advisor, in a phone call to General Earl Cable of the CIA only hours before the order was be given to begin this bombing. When the option of the when the operation went forward, our men could never find a beachhead successfully. They were cut down by the Air Force of Fidel Castro, who were supposed to have been destroyed on the ground by this pre-dawn raid. John F. Kennedy's gotten a bum rap. Now, how do we know this? It comes from the extraordinary work of an author named J.C. Hawkins, whose book, Betrayal in Bethesda, is one of the most extraordinary tales that I have seen of history correction. And he will join us tomorrow on The War Room. So don't miss that. But now you have history being corrected. Now, it is not incidental that McGeorge Bundy, the man who called off the ordered raid by JFK, was the brother of Bill Bundy of the Central Intelligence Agency, who was an investigative target of Senator Joseph McCarthy for his communist connections. You get the groundbreaking truth here at Infowars.com and a piece of important American history. John F. Kennedy got a bum rap on the Bay of Pigs. He would not order the air support because it would have been clearly a U.S. operation, U.S. fighter jets. He had only agreed to this plan if it appeared to be an indigenous Cuban uprising. John Kennedy betrayed by the CIA. You can read it in my book, LBJ, the man who killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, soon available at the Infowars.com store. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Roger Stone. Some of you may remember that in the midst of the campaign, Hillary Clinton's spokeswoman specifically put out a written statement which said that questions about Hillary's health had been invented by the conspiracy theorist Roger Stone and spread by the conspiracy theory broadcaster Alex Jones. It was shortly thereafter that Alex Jones was attacked by name by Hillary Clinton, which you saw in a video only moments ago if you were tuned in to the Alex Jones show. But now revealed in Donna Brazile's book is the fact that she, a campaign intimate, was as cognizant and concerned about Hillary's health as we were. You see, our information came from the naked eye. Hillary would have frequent coughing fits. She required help to get up literally one stair. She was constantly falling down. It was almost like a vaudeville act. Bill Clinton admitted in a famous CBS interview that she was constantly sick and always falling down. They edited that out, a little fake news mimicry there. But we are proven yet again to have been absolutely correct. Because then, on September 11, Hillary collapsed in public. Up until that time, they'd assured us that her only health problems involved allergies, yet we saw she was wearing special glasses that are used for people who have had some brain injury, usually from a fall. We had numerous complaints about her large capacity for white wine when she went on one of her tears. A vicious, mean-spirited woman. And the American people have seen through her kindly grandmother act. I think that every professional Democrat I know wants the Clintons to ride off into the sunset, Owen.
Well, right now, there's kind of a fracturing, Roger, of the Democrat Party, I think. And they got their election victories last night. I don't think anybody's really shocked that de Blasio wins again, that a Democrat wins in Virginia. You know, this is stuff that is kind of par for the course. We're not expected. I think de Blasio's victory is a shame and a black eye on the great city of New York City. But I think that right now you've got Democrats that see that Hillary Clinton, as you describe it, the Clintons are the, you know, antibacterial resistant STD to the Democrat Party. And so some of the Democrats are saying, look, if we're going to survive, we got to ditch the Clintons now. We got to hop off this ship now. You see Donna Brazile, basically the first person to ever betray the Clintons, writing a tell-all book, if you will. You've got Joe Biden now saying, you know, hey, look, when I endorse candidates, they win, as if he is going to be the next front man. You still think that had a speech mishap there. Michelle Obama is going to be the next candidate for the Democrat Party. So I just don't see how it really matters, because most of America, I think, is still going to vote Republican in 2018.
Well, look, I think it's very interesting that, again, Donna Brazile exposes the Clintons. WikiLeaks had already told us that the violent street demonstrations paid for by George Soros with agent provocateurs directed by Hillary Clinton were a reality. But now we learn from Donna Brazile's book that Hillary Clinton was personally ordering people to be dressed up as Donald Duck provocateurs to attack Trump not releasing his taxes. This would be called a dirty trick. This is a subject in which I have some expertise. Here we have Hillary Clinton tied directly to a dirty trick. Now, when they attempted to tie Nixon to dirty tricks, it caused his downfall. But now, again, Donna Brazile has confirmed the down-low and dirty tactics of the Clintons and her direct involvement in dirty tricks. Again, first reported by the crusading journalist Julian Assange.
Well, and the other thing about this, Roger, you know, as you talked about, they tried to fake news you saying that, oh, Roger Stone says Hillary has health problems. Or they try to say, oh, look at the crazy Alex Jones who says Hillary has health problems. As she literally falls over, she can't even hold her up her own weight. But this is what's kind of frustrating. Okay, so now Donna Brazile says, yeah, Hillary ordered people to be dressed up as Donald Duck. Well, that was already exposed with Project Veritas. Oh, yeah, now Donna Brazile's book says that they were covering up Hillary's health and it was a real concern. Well, we reported that here first. We had the sources tell us that she was having these fainting attacks all the time. Oh, Donna Brazile's book says that Hillary Clinton rigged the DNC. Again, we already knew that. We had the WikiLeaks. Infowars.com reported on that. So why is it that the left or liberals will only take news as fact if it comes from one of their own mouthpieces? If it comes from Roger Stone, it's fake news. But if it comes from Donna Brazile, okay, now we can trust it.
Well, but Owen, just thank goodness for truth tellers like Donna Brazile. Look, I know Donna Brazile. She is not a bad person. Her commitment is to liberalism and the ideals of the Democratic Party. We don't agree on anything politically, but she is not evil. She is not corrupt. She is honest. She's very professional, and she's a highly capable individual. We just disagree. I think her credibility is very high. I'm grateful that she has stepped forward and told the truth. I'm grateful that she has stepped forward and confirmed the things that we had reported already in many cases at InfoWars as a check on reality. We are the ones broadcasting the truth. Fake Tapper and Anderson Cooper, they are the purveyors of myth. They are the progenitors of falsehood. They're the ones pushing the false narrative in the name of their groovy, cool political correctness.
Yeah, these are the same sources that tried to convince us that Hillary Clinton was a sure victor just a year ago. 98% chance, 99% chance, 100% chance. Hillary will win Florida. She'll win Ohio. She'll win Pennsylvania. They were all wrong, Roger. Cheers, Roger. Isn't it nice to be right, Roger? How about that?
Well, I would say this. It's important to understand that these elites, whether they are in Beverly Hills or whether they are in Manhattan or whether they are in Silicon Valley or whether they're in Malibu or whether they're on the Upper West Side, they don't actually come in contact with any working people. The people that they see, interact with, other than perhaps their servants, are fellow wealthy elitists who are not connected to the ways of the real world, who have no ear to the ground on, you know, grassroots America and what it thinks. That's why last night I did a terrific book signing in Naples, Florida, for the Collier Trump Organization. A terrific turnout. And it's a two-way thing. Sure, I love signing books and I love speaking and taking questions, but I like to hear what's on people's mind because this is the movement. And I like to hear what the people in the movement are concerned about. And I'll say this. It's a good thing for Jeff Sessions he was not there last night. People are fed up with him having recused himself, as Alex Jones put it, from the job of being U.S. Attorney General.
Yeah, from the job of going after the biggest political criminal potentially in the history of the United States, Hillary Clinton. It's unbelievable. More of Roger Stone on the other side of the war room. Don't go anywhere.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream right now at Infowars.com/show.
This just in, the famous Russian dossier lawyer, the woman lawyer who, through intermediaries, arranged a meeting with Donald Trump Jr. and the brass of the Trump campaign on a false promise that she had access to information that was damaging to Hillary Clinton, presumably emails, seems to have met with agents of Fusion GPS both before and after her meeting. We also know that she entered the country without a visa thanks to the actions of the Obama FBI. So the so-called meeting with Donald Trump Jr., which was neither improper nor illegal, afforded absolutely nothing. But Robert Mueller's focus is not on the meeting itself. It's on Donald Trump's management of the news of the meeting when it finally became public. Initially, the Trump White House denied that the discussion had anything to do with any subject other than adoption and the adoption of Russia of American babies and so on. And of course, that narrative turned out to be true. Not that the actual discussion was in any way damning or damaging. That's because this meeting was a classic black op, a setup, a MacGuffin. And Donald Trump Jr., who we know watches us here on the War Room and watches Alex Jones, and who is a true American patriot, committed to his father's agenda and wary of the Bush Quislings who infect the Trump White House like a virus. Owen, I am also very interested in these stories in which Senator Robert Corker continues to push the narrative that the president is mentally unbalanced. My prediction goes like this. The political establishment types don't want to put all their eggs in Mr. Mueller's basket. They are well aware that Mueller is badly compromised in his personal relationship with James Comey. They are aware that even the appearance of impropriety would require him to step down. We're going to be talking to California Attorney Tyler Nixon about this shortly. He is, of course, a great nephew of President Richard Nixon, a longtime libertarian and Republican activist who now practices law as a member of the California bar. And we're going to talk about Robert Mueller and his public track record of public service, whether it was BCCI or whether it was the greatest financial swindle of all time, in which many Americans lost everything, the mortgage and housing meltdown, in which not a single banker, not a single fat cat, not a single financier went to prison. Oh, yeah, that Robert Mueller. This is the guy who takes all of the anti-Islamic information, which is nothing but fact, out of the FBI training manuals. This is the Robert Mueller who kills an investigation into whether foreign nationals who happen to be Saudis are training in flight schools in the United States just prior to 9/11. So it is essential that the president understand that he is a target. I think that General Kelly and others of his White House advisors have not been candid with him about the fact that Robert Mueller, unlike what his lawyer Ty Cobb says, the president's lawyer, this man is a menace. The fact that he will not step down in the face of these glaring conflicts. He interviews for the job of FBI director. He is passed over. That explains his animus towards the president. He coaches Comey on Comey's testimony before the Congress regarding his interactions with the president. Conflict number two. He has a conflict in the matter of Mr. Rosenstein. You can go to a terrific piece I wrote for Infowars.com called The Three Amigos that exposes the Comey-Mueller-Rosenstein alliance and why this is deadly for our president. If Mueller cannot construct some fabricated obstruction charge, Owen, I'm still convinced the 25th Amendment is right there as the second weapon of choice. There they are, Mueller, Rosenstein, and Comey, the three amigos. These guys are the executioners, as it were, for the deep state. They have illicitly served the Bushes and the Clintons. They've been part of every neocon cover-up con job in the last 30 years. And now they threaten to strangle the presidency of Donald Trump. These are dangerous men, and the president has to wake up to the clear and present danger. He cannot be sleepwalked into an assault, into an ambush by General Kelly and his current deep state handlers. There are very few in this cabinet who will tell him the truth. And the truth is, was revealed when Robert Mueller indicted Paul Manafort on matters that do not in any way pertain to Russia. The game here is obvious. Pressure Manafort and others in the campaign into bearing false witness against the president, lying in some effort to take him down. But, Owen, the 25th Amendment process needs to be understood by the patriots and the people, because that is where the scum will go next.
Well, I think they would like to do that now, obviously, as you reported on months ago. And the problem is they don't have the public support. They don't really have the support of Congress. And they know that they don't actually have a legitimate reason to call the 25th Amendment to task. But obviously, that's something that they desperately love to do as they try to build this narrative that the president is unfit. But, you know, I want to get back to the Russian probe real quick, Roger, because we know that next week, Jeff Sessions is going to have a hearing in front of a House committee about the updates, if you will, on the Russian probe. We already know that Sessions has effectively defanged himself, so he doesn't have any bite when it comes to this investigation, but maybe he still has some bark. I would like to see Sessions in this testimony, in this hearing, say, hey, you know what? I recuse myself, but I can still share my opinion here. How come we're only looking at Trump's side of things? How come we're only looking at all these guys and we're barely finding anything that actually has nothing to do with the president or the election? If we're really into this, looking for Russian collusion, if Russia is the big, you know, grizzly bear that we're all scared of and we have to do something about, well, how come it doesn't matter when the Democrats are colluding with Russia? So if Sessions doesn't have any bite effectively, maybe he actually has some bark left in him. But I don't know if I'm going to hold my breath on that, Roger.
Well, here's the problem. We get into it into the next segment. The fact that he can't remember things, even things that are innocuous but pertain to Russia, leads me to believe that he's become feeble-minded. Look, he hasn't done anything wrong, but he seemingly doesn't even remember the innocuous things he did do pertaining to Russia. As a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, it is not unusual or untoward for him to have a cordial relation with the Russian ambassador. He has no memory of discussing politics with him. But these other things, according to Carter Page and now this fellow Papadopoulos, this leads me to believe that Jeff Sessions may have to go because he's slipping, not because he's done anything wrong.
That's Roger Stone. We got one more segment left with him on the War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone. You're at the War Room here at Infowars.com. Now, if you dislike the Clintons, I mean you really, really dislike them, if you realize that they are, in fact, the penicillin-resistant syphilis of the American body politic, then you cannot be without your very own copy of The Clintons' War on Women. This terrific book, which is the definitive oppo dump on Bill, Hillary, and their shady little daughter, is now available at the Infowars.com store for the stunning price of $9.95. This is the book that will reveal and prove the case that Webster Hubbell is Hillary Clinton's, Chelsea Clinton's daddy. This is the book that will tell the true story of Danny Williams, the abandoned African-American son of Bill, banished by Hillary and harassed even today by Bill's attorneys. Yes, this is the definitive story about how Bill traded U.S. military circuits with the Chinese in return for $300,000 in Chinese funny money, and how he gave $1 billion to the Chinese to fortify their bunkers against American attack. This is the inside story of the Clintons' war on women, available at this extraordinary price now at the InfoWars.com store. And while you are there, take advantage of some of these incredible prices. Alex Jones has literally lost his mind on some of the prices I see. For example, Super Male Vitality, 50% off. That's an extraordinary value. This is a product that Michael Zimmerman will not be without. Also, Super Female Vitality, 50% off. Mrs. Stone loves this product. I myself like the Super Male Vitality. We got busy in a Burger King bathroom only a week ago. So I recommend these very best products at the very best prices. You will find the Biome Defense at 50% off. My all-time favorite, which you need to grab, the Super Blue Fluoride Toothpaste. Mrs. Stone is a great believer in a gleaming white style. She turned me on to this product. It is the best on the market. And for those of you in the John Birch Society, you don't have to be too worried because there is no fluoride in here. So get that, add it to your cart, add it to your order for the Clintons' war on women. Hillary Clinton had a screaming fit when she was presented a copy of this book. And you can get it now at the InfoWars.com store for the incredible price of $9.95. Now, if you went to my friends at Amazon, or if you went online for any other fine book purveyor, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, you will pay substantially more. And you can see the reviews. This is the book that caused Hillary Clinton to have a screaming fit. And therefore, you need to have a copy of it. Owen, how many copies do you own?
Well, I've got one for every day of the week. Actually, Roger, I've got one for Monday. I've got one for Tuesday, Wednesday. So I just make sure I've got one for every day of the week, all 7 days, so that I can pick it up and read it and remind myself the true crimes that the Clintons have committed. But I just want to, you know, correct the record here before we get Tyler Nixon on air with you here. The reason why I'm going with the Miami Vice look that you had mentioned earlier was because all apparel at InfoWarsStore.com is 50% off. So if you like this t-shirt, I've already gotten multiple comments on it on my Twitter feed. InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off all apparel. Now is the time to go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage.
Well, and one other key point here, Owen, and that is no matter what you wore, you redeem yourself by wearing your Richard M. Nixon-style American flag lapel pin. When I worked for the president in 1972 as a young staff member of the committee to re-elect the president, it was made clear to me that if you did not have that when you showed up for work, you would be fired. So I congratulate you. Joining us now, California attorney, great nephew of President Richard M. Nixon, longtime Republican and libertarian activist, and lawyer par excellence, Tyler Nixon. Welcome to the War Room, Tyler.
Roger, it's good to be with you, as always.
Oh, we got you on Skype. I love it. So yeah. I want to ask you about Robert Mueller. Could you assess his public career for us? And what do you think is the actual, not partisan, but the actual case that he should step down?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, any attorney who's going to enter into a particular position, particularly a prosecutor where it involves prosecuting people, taking away eventually their rights, holding them to account in a public forum, have special responsibilities to see to it that they're not conflicted in any way, that they don't have a conflict of interest. Before, at the time Mueller was appointed, there was a conflict run with WilmerHale, which is the firm at which he was working, which has basically been a couple of years worth of his tenure there. I mean, it really only involves his private relationships as a, you know, rainmaking lawyer there, presumably, of which also the Trump family are clients of WilmerHale. What it doesn't include and what it didn't include, which is the most relevant aspect of Mueller's serving as special counsel is what he did for, you know, his upwards of potentially 30-year career as a government lawyer and an FBI director. I would find that in this case of a politicized or a political, as the case may be, it's certainly politicized, but it's also political. It's a political in nature. It's concerning elections. It's concerning partisan combat. That when it's that political of a thing, you would want to ensure that someone who's been in government for 30 years, especially considering the, you know, the candidate complaining was Secretary of State, her husband was president, and so forth, that you would vet that. But we're supposed to just take it on Rod Rosenstein's say-so that this is good enough, that you know, Mueller's squeaky clean. We get the whole typical D.C. swamp establishment sandbagging of his credibility. We're just supposed to take that on faith, even though he's got a long track record, as you went into a number of times here today, as well as yesterday, I believe, a long track record of some shady dealings going back through to, and ironically, I don't know if people are aware, but, you know, Robert Mueller became FBI director 1 week to the day before 9/11. Very convenient for the, you know, the Bush-Cheney regime, so to speak, in terms of having someone in there who, as we saw later on, was clearly willing to go after whistleblowers to cover up evidence. You look at the anthrax investigation, which was botched, as well as even worse, to take hapless would-be jihadis, really people who are probably, you know, lower on the scale of mental and cognitive capabilities, and sort of get them into some faux terror plot so they can bust them and give the impression to the American people that there's some sort of progress being made against terrorism within the United States domestically. And, you know, that's just the tip of it. But, I mean, here's the thing, is you don't need to have an actual conflict of interest. I mean, the standard for an attorney is not, it's not doing the right thing. It's not trying to do the right thing. It's not even necessarily, you know, that is a standard for our conduct. But the actual standard is that you would not permit anything to allow the appearance even of impropriety in your position, in your fiduciary position, whatever that be, of trust as a prosecutor or as an attorney for any client. You're not supposed to, if something appears as though it could be improper, you're supposed to recuse yourself, supposed to remove yourself. You're not supposed to permit that to even become a factor. Mueller apparently doesn't care, neither.
It's interesting to me that in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, there's roughly 1,000 people who happen to be Islamic, who have no connection to terrorism, who've done nothing wrong, whose only crime seems to be being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're imprisoned. They're never finally charged. Their lives are turned upside down just so Rob Mueller can pop up his enforcement numbers and look like he's being tough on terrorism. I mean, what about due process? What about their rights? Where are the liberals? Why aren't the liberals screaming about these poor Islamics? It is really pathetic. And then the fact that he coaches Comey for his testimony before the Senate. The fact that he auditions, that he interviews for Comey's job with the president of the United States and is passed over, perhaps the source of his animus. These are conflicts of interest. The executioner for the deep state, silent Bob Mueller, needs to step down. If he will not step down, then he will have to accede to a federal investigation into his own lawbreaking by an honest prosecutor who should, by all rights, be appointed by the attorney general or his stand-in. Stay tuned on that strategy, because I think it is the answer. Tyler Nixon, many thanks for your shrewd legal analysis of why silent Bob Mueller must step down. We're out of time here at the War Room.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
That's right. And a year ago today, we were louder than ever and we elected Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States of America. Happy Megaversary, everybody out there, and we are truly enjoying it. We keep winning. We're not sick of it yet. So enjoy this compilation of all of the media freakout and frenzy and lies that Trump would never be president.
This is the time for real wisdom. Lightning round.
If Trump wins, how about bursting into tears and screaming for the next 45 minutes?
Well, America is crying tonight. I'm not sure how much of America, but a very, very significant portion. And I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset, and it is the end of their world.
It feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last night, and I was getting drunk is what happened to me.
How do we explain how this is possible?
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now. Because we're going to be fucked and we're going to have to live with it.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election.
If you're watching
now.
Rachel Maddow's show, you might be
this
in hell.
It's a different earth today than it was 24 hours ago. It's a different place.
You're right.
It just is different.
The woman who President Obama called the most qualified person ever to run for the White House couldn't break through. The question remains, who can?
Deeper concerns tonight that the world's shining light of democracy has gone dark.
Decency lost last night, and that's what's so hurtful about this.
This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president. In part.
Yeah.
And that's the part.
He was half white, by the way,
Van. Comes.
I kind of push back against the advancement of African Americans, of Hispanics, of women, of Muslim Americans.
It is a mourning moment for those people, and it is a moment filled with fear.
Because I'm on this network and people know my attitudes about things. They come up to me and they're scared, depressed, despair, desperate even. Almost clinging to me.
It was a rough night for everybody,
desperate.
I think. We're worried. The people are worried. You know, okay, he's the president. Now what?
It feels like we're trying to avoid the apocalypse, and half of the country is voting for the asteroid.
Is there a doomsday plan for a time like this? Am I right to ask about a doomsday plan? Do you see this as a doomsday scenario?
So if Donald Trump is democratically elected and your son is serving as a Marine, you wouldn't trust his life under that commander-in-chief? And Kane said, I wouldn't. That's a pretty extraordinary thing to say. If you have a son in the Marine Corps and that you don't trust the commander-in-chief.
Well, really? Hillary's vice president said that? Shocking.
The Constitution.
I can't put a happy face on that. And that's my job.
This is the first time throughout this entire race where I'm officially shitting my pants. I genuinely do not understand how America can be
Did
this
Did Trevor Noah just admit to crapping his pants on air?
How do you govern when your whole campaign was built on the hatred of somebody else?
From slavery to, you know, Nazism, we have faced challenges before to who we are as a people.
Plus the Supreme Court, who knows where that's going to go. So
who
the
knows?
Only checks and balances we have are us, the View. How are you supposed to be able to handle a country?
The best ad campaign, the best ground game. This is a shot against meritocracy, I think, because she merited everything. The normal way you standardize these things, she did what she's supposed to do to win.
You know, she was Hillary Clinton, the most qualified candidate, the best suited for the job, the best temperament. Now we're hearing not a good candidate.
History is put on hold yet again.
We have no idea who won. And to cover our bases, we taped two different show opens. First up, here's the outcome I'm hoping for. Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh.
But just
it's
in
horrible.
Case the unthinkable has happened and Donald Trump is our new president, the show opened.
President Trump! Woo!
This is the War Room.
It is the Trump Magaversary, and we are celebrating here at InfoWars with a 34-hour broadcast. Let's see, last year for the election coverage, I think we were live for like 80-plus hours, guys, something like that, something crazy. And so Trump won, and here we are a year later celebrating the MAGAversary, and we will be live with you all night long. My next guest is Ashton Witty. You can find her on Twitter at Ashton Birdie, on YouTube at Ashton Birdie. And, well, she goes out to some of these liberal events and tries to speak to some of these people, and she basically gets the same result that we see every time. They cannot have a conversation. She's also done other videos on YouTube that you can check out there. You can subscribe to her channel. Ashton, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on. Let's start with what happened last weekend. You were at the San Francisco version of the Refuse Fascism, Remove Trump, Pence Regime March. What did you see out there?
So what I found really interesting is that it was a peaceful protest, as, you know, we were all told to be this giant riot, this chaotic movement or whatever. And I definitely think something is going to go down. I definitely think these peaceful protests are just a cover up, a mask for it. However, I find it really interesting when these peaceful protests for Refuse Fascism or ban happen, you know, it's maybe less than 100 people, but you know, when they put on their masks and come after you violently, you see these hordes of 700, 800 people just take this to the streets and punching people, whoever they want to call a Nazi, who is pretty much everyone who didn't vote for Bernie. And so it just really shows you where the left truly stands on all that.
So you think that they only show up in numbers when they know they're going to have a bunch of their buddies there with their faces covered and they can do a bunch of violence, beat people up and get away with it?
Absolutely. These are the same people who posted posters all over UC Berkeley and the streets of Berkeley praising the 100th anniversary of Red October, which killed 60 million people. These are the same people who constantly talk about why communism is a great thing and why, you know, it's okay to punch a Nazi, quote unquote. And, you know, I heard Sansara Taylor tell me to my face that not all violence is equal.
Well, we just had President Trump declare November 7th a national day mourning the victims of communism. We fully salute the president with that. But you actually got victimized by these people before when you went to a march in San Francisco. I think this was the Please Tolerate Radical Islam march where you were attacked.
Yeah. So I actually am not fully, you know, informed on the travel ban myself, but it was a protest against travel ban, or what they wanted to call a Muslim ban, which, you know, is so obviously a play on fear towards minorities. That's what the left does. They want to play onto this fear to grab more people for their quote unquote movement or revolution or whatever. And I went, I was just, you know, 7 feet, 8 feet away from the crowd. And next thing I know, people are coming towards me. That's when I pulled out my camera. And this woman's shining a light in my face. She's coming closer to me, telling me I have to get out of her space. And as I'm walking away from her, she's following me. They're blocking me off from getting to my friends. She hits me in the face. This man is taking pictures of me, maybe 2 inches away from my nose. So they're definitely about interrogation. And the more, you know, I was there filming them, they kept saying, oh, look, she's doxing people. It's like, no, I'm filming you because you just hit me. So it really just shows you what they're willing to say and do to make it look like they're the victim.
Now, have you always been somebody that's been involved with politics, been a conservative, if you will, gone to these things? Or is this something that just kind of more momentum as you started getting more involved and started going to these things that you just decided, all right, I'm going all the way in. If they want to attack me, well, then I'm going to meet them head on.
So I was actually born to a very liberal family in Berkeley. I was born and raised in Berkeley. I am the only Republican that I know of in my family. I became a Republican when I was about 13 years old. When I started going to these events, it was about last semester. I wasn't able to go to Milo, but I witnessed all the craziness happen there. And that's what really inspired me to come out as a conservative, because I have been hiding, you know, my political beliefs for about 8 years at this point. And so I had to, quote unquote, come out of the closet as a conservative. And of course, my family pretty much exiled me at that point. But I think around there is when I started going to these events. And when I started making YouTube videos was back in August when I got attacked at a free speech rally. literally holding a sign that said, let's have a conversation, you know, probably the least controversial thing to say.
I mean, you asked to have a conversation. Well, hold on now. Wait a second. You asked to have a conversation with a leftist, with a liberal in the street, and you didn't expect to get attacked?
Anyone who wanted to talk to me. And of course, you know, they tracked me down and followed me, and I had to get into someone's car and speed off. You know, we stopped at a gas station, and that's where they're interviewing me about past events that I've had to deal with, like people like Yvette Falarca. We tried to go to a meeting at least. Yeah, so she was spreading these lies about us, calling us neo-Nazis and fascists. So it was my idea to go to one of her meetings and, you know, confront them about this. You know, I've never confronted Yvette Falarca before, but, you know, she's an awful person. I think she's probably my least favorite person to deal with in Berkeley. I call her the swamp troll. That's what she is to me. She takes children and indoctrinates them and makes them believe they're swamp trolls. And the next thing you know, she's got this entire horde of them. But we went to her meeting, and, you know, the first thing they did was they pointed at all the men and started saying, you're a bunch of women stalkers and you beat women. And the next thing you know, they're focusing all the white men. You know, beforehand, she was pointing to my friend who she said his name over and over and over again, countless times. But if you notice, her phone was focused on all of the white men. You know, she didn't point to me, who was the only woman in the group. She didn't point to any of my friends of color in the group. And so then two members of BAM actually attacked us. And then, of course, someone started screaming, stop attacking women, as if we attacked them. So if you were to look at, say, Very Fake News' channel, you could actually find the video on that, where we have all the footage of just BAM attacking us. And that's just another point of proof that they're willing to say and do whatever they can to look like the victims. I was interviewing about that the day of the free speech rally. And I look over across the street and there's this woman on her cell phone and she's glaring at me. 2 minutes later, these guys show up and start beating our car with lead pipes and calling us supremacists, saying there's more of them. They're going to come get us, that we're dead men and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Antifa is willing to track people down. You know, I've had my information put out on Berkeley Antifa's Twitter. They followed me to a burger place and watched me eat a cheeseburger with my friends. And, you know, they put it on their Twitter, telling people where we were. They've shouted out when I was with Kyle Chapman, Basic Man, who is a very good friend of mine. So definitely there have been multiple times where Antifa has, you know, been kind of our paparazzi, I guess. But, you know, it gets to a point where it's a little creepy. It's a little weird. It's like, do you guys not have jobs? Do you not have anything to do with your life? I mean,
well, you know what? I'm going to take this from a different stance, and I'm going to say that maybe there's actually hope for some of these Antifa guys, and they might still have some real toxic masculinity left in them, and they wanted to follow a cute girl around. So this is the best way. They kind of treat it like a, you know, like a first grader would, you know. But maybe there's a little bit, you know, they are in arrested development, so maybe there's some hope for them, but it is shocking when you're actually on the receiving end of their stalking, of their hatred, of their vitriol. It is actually shocking to witness that. We're about to go to break here. When we come back, though, I know that you shot a video on this and you had just mentioned it in this segment. I want to get more into this on the other side. Your family, all liberals, I'm assuming that you're from California, your family's from California?
I was born and raised in Berkeley.
Okay, so yeah, in Berkeley, family full of liberals, and you did a video about this, how basically now your family has pretty much disowned you, they hate you, they don't want to talk to you, they don't want anything to do with you. This is actually severely, I would imagine anybody, but it's affected your own, you know, psychology, that your family would treat you like this just for your political beliefs. But we've seen this all around the nation. Their stories were coming out of this last election cycle during Thanksgiving. People like, yeah, I can't even go to Thanksgiving with my family because of the political fights. So we got another segment with Ashton Witty. Don't go anywhere. Sorry, guys. I was just practicing for our rally later today. Scream helplessly at the sky rally over Hillary Clinton losing the election. This is the nationwide anti-Trump temper tantrum taking place today. So sorry about that. Didn't mean to scream in your ears, gang. I was just practicing for our rally later. Yes, this is real news. You couldn't make this up, even if you were Paul McCartney in the middle of an acid trip. Shocking stuff that we have here. Now, let's go back to Ashton Witte at Ashton Birdie on Twitter and on YouTube. We were getting into it at the end of the last break, how because of your conservative politics, basically your family is disowning you. You know, I've heard a lot of these stories. It's really amazing to me. You know, I can remember getting into political arguments with my family all the time over holidays. It was definitely probably increased considering the Trump versus Hillary campaign cycle. But at the end of the day, you know, we have liberals, conservatives, pretty much everything. At the end of the day, we're always able to break bread. We're always able to smile and laugh and hug each other and say, I love you. It's never gotten to a point of such vitriol where we can't even be around each other. But you're saying that that's pretty much the treatment you're receiving from your family now.
Oh, pretty much. I've had multiple cousins now block me just for spreading simple logic. I mean, I had a cousin who posted about the Las Vegas shooter's white privilege. And I made a statement saying, you know, you probably shouldn't bring up his race. It has nothing to do with, you know, the entire, you know, situation. And of course, she flipped out on me and told me because I support the Second Amendment, I'm obviously a future mass shooter and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I've had multiple situations like other cousins, whether it's about Trump, the Second Amendment, pro-life, et cetera, et cetera. And so, of course, you know, I'm being exiled by my own family simply because of my political beliefs. And, you know, these are the women who go out into the streets wearing pussy hats against rapists and bullies and whatever they want to call Trump. But the moment someone like Harvey Weinstein comes out, you know, they're silenced. The moment something around, you know, a Democrat shooting up Las Vegas, they're silent. They don't want to talk about anything that points back the finger to their beliefs. They just want to point the finger at me, the black sheep of the family. So it just goes to show that every time I've ever actually got, well, actually every time I've made a post and they've tried to debate me, and of course I bring back, you know, my rebuttal, they're the ones who have like this Spurg attack and can't handle it and block me on Facebook. And it's, you know, there doesn't need to be politics in the family. But if you're going to debate me on my own posts, I'm going to debate back. Don't get mad because I beat you with logic and you're too lazy to do the research yourself.
Well, and just to provide a little fact to what you're talking about here, you had, and the crew can pull these articles up, you had Bill de Blasio, the Democrat mayor of New York, you had Bill de Blasio's staffer get arrested for having hundreds of files of child pornography, infants. I mean, disgusting. That was Bill de Blasio's number one staffer, the next John Podesta, if you will. I've got another story here. You had a commissioner, Commissioner Radner. This is a Democrat commissioner. I believe it was in Pennsylvania, but I'm struggling to recall. He gets caught with child pornography. Another Democrat. You've got now Jesse Jackson has been accused of sexual harassment. Who is the other? The Democrat mayor of Seattle gets caught and he has to step down. But like you said, the silence from liberal media is deafening.
They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say, oh, I guess, you know, the people on my side aren't as good either. You know, they want to say, oh, how Hillary's so great because she's a woman and she's running for president. And she's going to be my idol. And it's like, well, what about Benghazi? Where's the emails? You know, all of these things, her constant lying, her constant backstabbing towards Americans. You know, they want to run around the streets with pussy hats on. But the moment the finger's pointed at them, they're silent. They're hiding away in their little caves. And that just comes to show you that the left, they won't stand against, you know, anyone on the, Democrats side that have done things wrong. But the moment we have issues where someone like, you know, we have someone like Ted Cruz, or someone like Mitt Romney, you know, we're willing to point the finger at them and say, hey, they did this wrong. So where's the left pointing the finger at their other Democrats? Where are they?
Well, they're silent. They can never call out their own faults. That is one of the issues that the political left has in general. But obviously you've talked about the treatment you've received in your family. But what is it like, you know, just living in California? I mean, is it just totally, I mean, how many conservatives do you run into? Is it impossible to meet someone who's politically like-minded?
Definitely being in college, I was actually a moderate back in February, but ever since, you know, I've actually dealt with some of the craziness, I've infiltrated Antifa meetings, I have really studied about cults and how they work. You know, I can definitely relate a lot of cult-like tactics to groups like BAM, which I can give tons of information on. Of course, we don't have time for that. But, you know, when you really do your research and get down to this, you definitely understand that there's something going on, an indoctrination within the media, within the schools, within my own family that I've seen at least. You know, it's my family is now working like a cult. And so we see a lot of these issues surrounding me, and you know, I don't think it's just in California or just in Berkeley. It's nationwide. It's worldwide. We see, you know, England or Europe in general. They're bringing all of these refugees in the name of, you know, identity politics. But you know, the cost they're paying is basically their entire cities are being blown up and terrorized. But they're not doing anything about it because you know they don't offend anybody.
Yeah, sacrificing themselves essentially for the sake of multiculturalism and diversity, which has totally failed. Well, you've talked about how my recollection is that based on some of your recent videos, you're trying to get out of California. You're trying to move on. You're looking for something different and you're kind of seeking answers out there. What's next for you? You're finally getting some publicity. You're getting a lot of shout outs from people on Twitter. You're gaining a bigger following. What's next for you? What's your next plan? What do you think your future entails?
I definitely want to stay in California for a bit because I think it's my duty as someone who's born and raised in California who has fought against this indoctrination that I've been experiencing since I was a kid who's, you know, I guess seen the light at age 13. It is my duty to show them as they are. I wanted people to realize BAM needs to be seen as a cult. Antifa needs to be seen as a domestic terrorist group. And I definitely want to show people where the craziness is and that needs to end. And then when, you know, it starts to, you know, look better in California, I'll definitely move out somewhere else. I definitely see more plans towards journalism in my future. I would love to be have my own show or be a journalist, whatever. I would love to write a book. But for now, I really think it's my duty as someone who has grown up with this craziness to show it as it is.
So you want to try to make California great again. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is. I want to make California great again.
All right, well, you better link up with the fellow people that want to make California great again, because that is not going. That's going to be a tough task, you know. So, we'll be following you, and we'll certainly have you on again whenever you file big reports and get a viral video. So keep doing what you're doing. Thanks for coming on. Final words, final 30 seconds here.
Just do your research. Remember that, you know, not everything you're learning in school or from the media, like CNN, for example.
It's not, you know what? That's boring. That's boring. Well, give me your best. Give me your best. Scream helplessly at the sky. Come on. Let me hear it.
I can't. I love Trump too much.
Come on. I understand. You don't want to be. Oh, there it was. We got a little bit.
I can't stand Hillary. She's my least favorite person.
That's what's going to happen today, folks. Scream helplessly at the sky because we can't win an election.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, we've been telling you that Infowars is under attack. Obviously, you know that Alex Jones gets attacked every day, but they truly want us shut down. They truly want us censored. But hey, don't take it from us, who continue to be right all the time. Here it is, right from the pig's mouth.
We confirm suspicions at Veritas. It's not a shock to you, but to get the employee at YouTube on tape admitting that they do it? I mean, you must be a threat if they call you out by name.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
As of just a short time ago, and I'm talking about when this meeting started, on Twitter, if you clicked on the hashtag NYC terrorist attack, which is, quote, trending, marked with a red button saying, quote, live, the top tweet links to an InfoWars story with the headline, Imam I warned de Blasio about New York City of terror. He was too busy bashing Trump.
I don't know what happens in somebody's mind or how dark their heart must be to say things like that.
This is a real-time example of when we talk about this information being weaponized.
But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said,
"Your reputation's amazing. I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope."
How quickly can you act, and what's your responsibility to set the record straight so that the people who saw this know that it's fake news? And at least at some point in time, it can't keep spreading like some sort of virus through the legitimate world.
That's something we're thinking about all the time, because it's a bad user experience, and we don't want to be known as a platform for that.
You have RT, you have Sputnik, you have Rupley, and then I think you have them feeding other entities. InfoWars comes to mind, where those are echo chambers.
The system self-corrected. That shouldn't be the first tweet you see anymore. It should be a USA article the last time I checked. USA Today. At lunch, I did, yeah. And I also saw the system corrected.
That man's a threat to this country.
They didn't call out Fox News by name. They didn't call out anyone else by name. They said, when it comes to Alex Jones, we need people to scroll and manually find him and manually have to find that video. We're not going to allow that video, if it gets 10 million views, to be on the front of the so-called news carousel.
So there you go. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama both make references to Alex Jones trying to make him look bad. You've got people going on the Hill, the floor of Congress, saying InfoWars must be stopped. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Google all put algorithms into their platforms to try to shut us down. Folks, the entire establishment wants us shut down. But the beauty of it is, you are bigger than the establishment. You are bigger than Facebook. You're bigger than Google. You're bigger than Twitter. You're bigger than YouTube. You're bigger than the corrupt Democrats and Republicans that call for InfoWars censorship. And here's how you prove you're bigger. You go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. Folks, you'll see that I have a t-shirt on today. There it is right there. 1776 AR-15 t-shirt. I think Alex calls this one the 1776 rock and roll t-shirt. And as you can see, this is actually a t-shirt that is an older version, and I didn't even realize it. I thought this was a newer t-shirt. This is actually an older one. So let's get this old t-shirt back trending. There you see the beautiful 1776 with the bars and the ARs and the snake right under it. So be sure you go to InfoWarsStore.com. Now, here's the kicker about this shirt. All InfoWars apparel today, 50% off. You heard me right. All InfoWars apparel, 50% off and free shipping store-wide. Of course, this is in honor of the great Magiversary, our 34-hour live broadcast that we are just in the middle of, just getting to the tipping point here. Look at some of the, hey, go to the limited time available anti-communist, anti-fascist t-shirt. Folks, this shirt is now 50% off, and here's what's going to happen with this shirt. Now that it's 50% off, this thing is probably going to sell almost completely off the shelves. And this is a limited time t-shirt. We got one batch of this t-shirt, limited time only. So if this thing sells out, that's it. It's bye. It's sayonara. So if you like this shirt, you want to wear our anti-communist, anti-fascist shirt, InfoWarsStore.com is the place to go. And of course, check out our huge specials. I mean, just so many discounts at InfoWarsStore.com today on top of the free shipping. Where to begin? How about 50% off Super Male and Super Female Vitality? 50% off Super Male and Super Female Vitality. Biome Defense 50, another great product at InfoWarsStore.com. That's 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, I take mine every morning. 50% off with free shipping. Secret 12 Vitamin B12, 50% off with free shipping. Super Blue Fluoride Free Mouthwash, 50% off with free shipping. And then the big gangbuster, groundbreaking product, DNA Force, back in stock, 25% off with free shipping. Folks, all of it makes this possible. They want to shut us down. They want to shut us up. They attack us on all their platforms. They censor us on all our platforms. They try to act like we don't exist, but we do. We're bigger than them, and we are tomorrow's news today. We are next year's news today. I mean, literally, when you talk about the revelations coming out of the Hillary Clinton camp from the Donna Brazile book. We reported all that to you a year ago. You already knew it because you follow InfoWars for the latest breaking news. So support us at InfoWarsStore.com. We need you now more than ever. They are truly going full bore against us. Now, I've got some exciting news to announce here on the War Room today. We have a new Twitter account. It is called War Room Memes. Now, what I have learned here over the course of the last couple weeks is that our audience is so great, so active, so interactive, and so creative that all I have to do is call for our audience to start making memes, and then they do it. We memed the unicorn that was at the Refuse Fascist March on Saturday. The unicorn got memed all Saturday night. Yesterday, we memed Don Lemon into a worm. It was wonderful. We had great memes. But the problem is, we weren't really effectively getting these out into the Twitter sphere, into the internet sphere, if you will. So now we have a new solution. So follow us at War Room Memes. Guys, pull the account back up. Follow this new War Room account at War Room Memes. And to kick it off, on the anniversary of President Trump's election, I want you to submit your favorite President Trump meme and or Hillary Clinton meme. And every meme that you tweet at War Room Memes will be retweeted as long as it is appropriate. I'm sure that you can take a fair guess as to what that means. So tweet out your favorite President Trump and or Hillary Clinton meme at War Room Memes, and we will retweet it. So that's going to be what this entire Twitter account is about. All of your memes, we will retweet it. And when you see the memes, you'll know that you found them on War Room Memes at War Room Memes. So tweet at us. Use the hashtag. We'll go with War Room Memes, guys. Hashtag War Room Memes at War Room Memes. Send us your favorite President Trump and or Hillary Clinton meme, and we will retweet it. And it might even get a plug on the show. And again, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. We need you now more than ever. You are truly doing the heavy lifting. You do the legwork. You are the backbone. You are the spirit. You are the soul of InfoWars. So 50% off all InfoWars apparel store-wide. 50% off tons of supplements and free shipping store-wide. Take advantage. Get Christmas gifts. Get birthday gifts. Get all kinds of gifts. Get yourself a gift. Celebrate the Magiversary at InfoWarsStore.com. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. One more segment left in this hour. Then we've got Outlaw Morgan joining us in the next hour, as well as Millie Weaver. And don't forget that InfoWars is going to be live all night long. So even though the War Room normally ends at 6 o'clock, the broadcast will continue past that. And I'll just do a little tease here. We've got the, I guess it's another Trump protest, if you want to call it that. It's the Helplessly Scream at the Sky event, where the liberals will scream helplessly at the sky because Hillary lost the election. Yes, this is an actual thing we're reporting on here. I'm not just making this up. And let's just say we've got boots on the ground. So if you can't make it to the Helplessly Scream at the Sky event, InfoWars will bring it right to your house. So congratulations, because you will get to experience the Helplessly Scream at the Sky event from the comfort of your own home, thanks to InfoWars.com coverage of the event. So you're not going to want to miss that. Set to kick off at 6 o'clock here Central Time. Boy, is it fun laughing at liberals. Boy, is it fun to watch them squirming around like fish out of water, flopping around on the desk helplessly because they don't know what to do. because their propaganda didn't work, their brainwashing didn't work, and their political ideologies are totally failing. So let's just rewind the clocks on this great MAGAversary. Oh my gosh. Look at that ghoul. A literal pot-bellied goblin. Let's go back and laugh at the people that laughed at the potential of Trump being elected president.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican.
People actually take these guys seriously.
I just assume he's running as a joke.
You're the joke!
Trump is a clown.
Donald.
You're the clown!
I mean, does anybody seriously think that Donald Trump is serious about running for president?
Donald Trump, you know, he's a clown.
But likely moderator, yeah. apparently believes that Donald Trump is a clown.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
And Ann Coulter is right, and they laugh at her. Oh, there's Ann Reed, totally unhinged
president
leftist.
Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
But the history books will forget you, Obama, except as the worst president.
Beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end?
This is probably starting of the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency.
The strongest person.
Sorry, you couldn't Bush your way to the presidency.
So right now we have Hillary's about a 75% or 80% favorite. We have different versions of forecasts you can look at.
Poll has Hillary went up by double digits nationally, 12 points, 50-38 in a four-way race.
Clinton leading in Florida, Clinton leading in North Carolina, Clinton leading in Ohio,
Nevada.
I could go on and on and on.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
And so, right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say, you're not going to be president, all right?
Wrong.
It's been fun.
Wrong.
It's been great.
Wrong. You're wrong.
I love you.
You're wrong. You're fake news.
But come on. Come on,
Stephen
buddy.
Colbert.
We have a major projection right now. Donald Trump will take
funny
Ohio.
And not in a comedic way.
That projects Donald Trump will carry the state of Florida. Huge win for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, we project, will win in Kentucky, in Indiana. With its 11 electoral votes, West Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, North Dakota, with its 3 electoral votes, and South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, North Carolina, Georgia, Iowa, Utah, Wisconsin, Arizona, Kansas, with its 6 electoral votes, Nebraska, with its 5 electoral votes, and Wyoming, with its 3 electoral votes.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business.
A lot of people have laughed at me over the years. Now they're not laughing so much, I'll tell you.
That's right. They were all wrong. I mean, seriously, think about that. You have to ask yourself, are all of those people that wrong? Are they that bad at their job? Or are they that compromised? Are they that colluded? Are they that bought and paid for? Either way, they're that pathetic. Sorry. InfoWars beat you again, Colbert. Sorry, InfoWars beat you again, MSNBC. Sorry, InfoWars beat you again, CNN is ISIS. CNN is very fake news. But let's go back to potentially the biggest crackpot in the history of news media. She looks like a cartoon character, which is actually a he, Mandark, from Dexter's Laboratory. In fact, guys, I'd like to have the double box pulled up for this. If we could have Mandark on one end and then Rachel Maddow on the other while she's actually doing this. Here's Rachel Maddow, totally convinced. Here's Rachel Mandark Maddow. Here's Rachel Mandark. Here's Mandark, the cartoon Mandark, totally convinced that Trump can't win.
They go that way. If the lean Republican and likely Republican go red, and the lean Democrat and likely Democrat go blue, If you sign those out that way, and then you say that Donald Trump has the best day in the entire world, completely outperforms expectations, and he wins all of the toss-up states. He wins all five of those states, plus that electoral college vote in Maine that he's after. If he wins all of the toss-ups, which would be insane because nobody wins all of the toss-up states, even if Donald Trump did win all of the toss-up states, he would still lose.
Jack will win in Kentucky with its 8 electoral votes. In Indiana with its 11.
It must suck to be Rachel Maddow.
Virginia.
You're ugly, Tennessee, you're stupid, and you're wrong.
South Carolina, Alabama.
The triple threat.
6 electoral votes.
Ugly, stupid, and wrong.
It's 5 electoral votes. And Wyoming with its 3 electoral vote. North Carolina, 3 electoral votes. And South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas.
Mandark.
The state of Montana.
The evil genius from Dexter's Laboratory.
Iowa, Utah, Wisconsin, Arizona.
Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United
States. Hey, look, guys, it's Rachel Maddow.
The most unreal, surreal election we have ever seen. His candidacy starting on an escalator ride. 1 year ago, and going down against 16 Republican candidates. What started off as unlikely, impossible, is now reality. He said he was always a winner. This did not come without controversy. The billionaire, entrepreneur, TV reality star has defeated the candidate once figured to be undefeatable, besting Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in an Electoral College victory that virtually no one saw coming.
Oh, we saw it coming. Oh, we saw it coming, all right. There it is, folks. Rachel Mandark Maddow. Wrong as usual. Has that thing ever been right? I don't think that thing's ever been right about anything. That must suck for MSNBC, their leading host. Never right. That's brutal stuff. You know, and I want to say something here as we get out of this segment, listening to the end of that compilation and hearing that song, that let's recall why Trump got elected and what's important moving forward. We didn't elect Trump because we're purists, okay? I'm sorry, but purists never win politically, folks. That's why Ron Paul could never win. Purists just do not win politically in this day and age. We didn't vote for Donald Trump because he was a purist. Let's not all of a sudden become purist and fracture Trump's voter base and fracture the Make America Great movement. Now is the time for all of us to come together. Not to separate on our differences. We can do that in 30, 40, 50 years when we've already had the complete American Renaissance. Now is the time to stay united. Now is the time to not let our differences separate us, but to let our differences bring us together. And even though we have different ideas because we're not in a cult, even though we have different priorities because we're not in a cult, we all have to put the real priorities first, which is America first policies, common sense policies. Ending corruption in Washington, D.C., not having career politicians in office again and again and again and again, informing ourselves as voters, informing ourselves as consumers. That is how we continue to make America great again. We need to remember that. Don't fracture the base. Unite. Be stronger than ever. And let's continue to make America great again.
This is the return of the Republic. And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We've got the new Twitter handle, War Room Memes. Submit your memes to War Room Memes. We'll retweet them with the hashtag War Room Memes. Here's one of our favorite memes, Monty Python and the Holy Trump.
Arthur. Arthur. Listen up, Arthur. I have a huge job for you to do.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to create the best memes the world has ever seen.
It's a good idea, oh Lord.
Of course, it's a great idea. You have a fantastic group of Redditors. The best, okay? Unbelievable Redditors. Your mission, I should say, our mission, because it is, right? We are going to trigger the snowflakes and expose the very dishonest press. With your help, we are going to make America great again.
A blessing from the Lord. God be praised.
Meme wars, folks. Where were you during the great meme wars as Hillary Clinton is trampled underfoot? Well, we were right here. We were making the memes and sharing the memes, and I've been told that we've already got some memes submitted to us. We're asking for your favorite President Trump and or Hillary Clinton memes submitted to us at War Room Memes. Can you please go back to the Rachel Maddow? Oh, there it is, folks. Rachel Maddow has the cone over her neck because the doctor said it would keep her from chewing her nuts. We're talking about peanuts, of course, folks. These are great. So these are all the memes that were submitted to us at War Room Memes, hashtag War Room Memes. Here you can see some of them that have already been submitted. We are scrolling through them right now. Follow us at War Room Show. Follow us at War Room Memes. Yeah, that's right. If you get pulled over for speeding or, you know, a DUI or what have you, just say you're gay. Just use the Kevin Spacey out. Excuse me, sir. You were going 100 miles per hour in a school zone. I'm gay. Oh, my bad, sir. Go ahead. Go about your day. So these are some great memes submitted to us at War Room Memes. And so this is the plan for us. When we get these memes, we're going to retweet them, and you may even get a plug on the show. Here's a classic one from Debbie Was a Man Schultz. We gave Bernie a lesson in socialism. We took votes he'd earned and gave them to Hillary. That's right. That's what Debbie Was a Man Schultz did for the DNC. Oh, there's creepy Uncle Joe Biden, who's famous for canoodling young children when they come to the White House. That's just, you know, we just have so many, you know, videos compiled of Joe Biden creepily and eerily approaching and touching young people when they came to the White House. And now he thinks he's going to run for president, too. So support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com. The Great Meme War continues at War Room Memes. And again, we will be retweeting all of the memes you share us as long as they are appropriate. So, you've seen some of the memes submitted. This is the Great Meme War. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. When we come back, we will be joined by Outlaw Morgan, who, like the rest of us, is being censored hardcore by Facebook, Google, and Twitter. We hear from Outlaw Morgan on the other side. You know all the time.
Is the War Room.
No. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. You know, actually, there's some breaking news happening right now. We're about to get our guest, Outlaw Morgan, on. But I need to report this. It's being reported. Apparently, there have been reports of shots fired in Floresville, ahead of Pence's arrival. Vice President Mike Pence coming down to Texas to speak to grieving members of the community and talk about what happened with the Texas massacre. And now I'm seeing reports of shots fired ahead of Pence's arrival. So we already know that the left is trying to incite violence. You know, you can look at some of the events that have happened since the start of October and say, this pretty much goes right in line with what the left has been saying they're going to do for a year, a violent upheaval of President Trump and the people that elected him. And you're really starting to see it happen. Rand Paul gets beaten up, 6 broken ribs. You get this shooter in Texas. I'm not trying to politicize it. I'm just saying, hey, here's an atheist. You had the weird post on, I think it was 4chan, of a bunch of guys in a skull mask saying, watch out for Texas tomorrow. So just weird stuff. Of course, then, though, I mean, my goodness, you want to talk about fake news. You've never seen anything like this, folks. I mean, this is beyond Hillary Clinton saying that a silencer makes a gun silent. USA Today puts this out. This is the USA Today, by the way, that Twitter and Google and YouTube and Facebook all prioritize ahead of InfoWars. They depict a chainsaw bayonet at the end of an AR-15. Literally, whoever made this probably played the video game Gears of War and decided that they were going to turn this into a reality. You have never seen something more insane. First of all, the size, the actual, you know, scale is not even close. You can't put a chainsaw bayonet at the end of an AR-15. So there you go. USA Today, dumber than ever. Well, Outlaw Morgan, you're no stranger to guns and how to use rifles safely. Have you ever seen in your life a chainsaw bayonet?
I have to say that looks pretty scary, though. You know what I'm saying? That's a scary piece of equipment. I'm scared. You know, like, let me tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of Democrats getting more firearms in their possessions. I honestly think we need to just ban Democrats from owning firearms. Problem solved. They don't want anybody to have firearms anyway. But let's be honest about it. The average American that's out there hunting, fishing, blue collar, hardworking Americans, they're not the ones out there doing the activities that we see. Most of these people that actually go out there and act nutty and kooky and shoot up schools and do all these things, they're liberals, man. You know, let's just be honest about it. You got to call a spade.
And they're always hopped up on the big pharmaceutical drugs, true, the SSRIs.
Right, the psychotropics, you know, like, yeah, let's snort a bunch of Adderall and go shoot people. That sounds like a really good time. I mean, the average American's not sitting around thinking about shooting people with a firearm. This is the insanity of the liberal side. That's exactly what it is. I did a video not long ago where I said, you know, we can fix it. We can find a solution. It's called ban Democrats. And I stand behind it 100%, man.
Well,
you're a white male.
Well, I think you, I mean, there. Here's the thing about this, because you have, you know, the arguments coming forth, and it's fair enough where you say, okay, let's consider mental health before we sell somebody a gun. I think that's fair enough, especially when it comes to the retailer or the actual person selling the gun. Hey, if you say, I'm sorry, sir, even if there's not a law on the books, but you as a retailer say, sir, I'm sorry, you know, I've seen your background and I'm just not willing to sell you this gun. You know, that to me is also a right of the free market as well, to just privately deny someone sale of a gun for whatever reason you think. But, you know, you want to talk about mental disorders. We can make a fair case and have been that liberalism, modern day liberalism, is a mental disorder that would keep them from getting guns right there. But the problem with this is, as we saw, all of these laws that they try to put on the books to protect us from mentally ill people getting guns, they didn't work in the case of this Texas shooter, unless, of course, he was some sort of cutout purposely meant to find his way through the system.
Well, I mean, you gotta keep in mind, too, man, the weapon that he used was not even a legal firearm. He wasn't alone to own a firearm. He was a domestic abuser, so he had domestic violence charges on him. Now, in most states, when you actually commit domestic violence, your Second Amendment rights are already taken away right then and there. So this is something that people were overlooking. And here's the thing, man. Like, even if we had background checks, national registry, which, you know, we do have background checks, and we have all these things in place, and there is no such thing as a loophole, and whatever else. I mean, you're not going to stop somebody from obtaining a weapon. In theory, it's literally impossible to do. If I could take you right now to the ghetto right over here down the street, and we can get you whatever you need. You know what I mean? And it could be a throwaway weapon. It's you know, low cost, and you can roll out, do whatever you want to do with it. But I think you're absolutely right. I think we do need to look a little deeper into the mental illness of it. And I mean, I think mental illness is something that Americans right now or America as a whole is simply overlooking. You know what I mean? Like nobody even talks about mental illness anymore. When's the last time you heard anybody discuss bipolar or, you know, anything of that effect?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see the numbers if you just look at how many people are on the big pharmaceutical drugs, the big pharmaceutical pills, the SSRIs, the antidepressants. I would make a declaration immediately. And I don't know what Trump's thoughts on this would be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it crossed his mind. I would say if you're prescribed, you know, to one of these SSRIs or antidepressants, now let's look into maybe you shouldn't own a firearm. I mean, the side effects already say, you know, potential suicide, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But real quick, I want to go to a different topic here, which is a big topic. You have recently been banned from Facebook. Is that correct?
Well, what happened was, my battle with Facebook's been going on for a long time. I mean, I came on about 2 years ago and I was super pro-Trump, proactive. I told everybody like 2 years ago that Trump was going to win, whether you wanted to hear it or not. And I blatantly broke down why he was going to win. And, you know, that people are just tired of the progressive moderate day left. I mean, we're sick of it. We're sick of these people standing on their pedestals telling us what we can and can't do, how we should think and how we should feel and how we should operate as people. Look, America's designed on freedom. So I took to the internet and used it for free speech all the way through and through. I've been constantly banned. We're talking like I literally got to the point I had to have 6 accounts, but then I got hacked is what happened. And somebody actually came through my business manager account, which I don't know how they did it. I wasn't phished. It wasn't anything like that. I got hacked. I started to contact Facebook and told them what happened, said, look, there's some vulnerabilities within the business manager, the ad accounts, and it's got sensitive information such as PayPal, such as, you know, your banking information. I was like, we might need to look into this. And all I kept getting was generic responses. It took Stephen Bullich, who is starting up a company called Infinity Social Network. He's starting his own social network. Stephen Bullich basically came to me and said, I'll help you get an attorney. So it took me hitting Facebook back on email and saying, look, I just signed a retainer and here's my attorney's information. Your legal department's about to actually be contacted. My page had over 570 some thousand people when it was hacked. It took that for Facebook to finally take me serious and my lawyers and the team of lawyers I had to contact them to give me my page back or even start working with me to get my page back. They told me there was nothing they could do. I honestly don't understand page roles, et cetera, but this wait, it gets better. Like here's where it gets really good. I was live the other night, right? And I got banned while I was live, which is not uncommon. You know, sometimes I have a potty mouth. Sometimes I say things that, whatever. But Facebook actually trolled me directly after I was banned. Facebook actually sent me a notification that had a suggestion for my page that said I should no longer be a public figure. Instead, I should be a public toilet.
I saw that. Yeah. Has anyone ever had that before?
I don't think so, man. I'm aware of that like a badge of honor. That night I had a couple, you know, drinks or whatever. So I was in rare form, having a good time with my people. Nothing but like laughing faces going across the screen. Everybody's having a good time. Next thing you know, I get kicked out. Session expired, et cetera, et cetera. I log back in. I see this notification.
Well, this is amazing because this actually tells me two things. It tells me, one, that Facebook is obsessed with you and watching everything you do. So congratulations on that. But I mean, come on. You want to talk about the pot calling the kettle black? Facebook calling you a public toilet? Facebook is the public toilet. Facebook is the biggest public toilet in the history of mankind. I mean, my goodness. Outlaw Morgan, another segment on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Sitting in for Owen Schroyer, who is right now going to a special mission to go get live coverage of the Scream Helplessly at the Sky event that liberal SJWs are putting on. Well, we have a video that Owen left for us that we want to get Outlaw Morgan's opinion on. So let's go ahead and roll this video of Don Lemon talking about the Sutherland shooting.
How many times are we going to have to do this? Mourn with people we don't know, but meet under the most horrific circumstances, their loved ones live, snuffed out in an instant for no good reason. How many times are we going to look up at the TV and see and hear people grieving, sobbing their hearts out in front of the world for the whole world to see? And before we even know the full story, the responses from our leaders are sadly as familiar as the details of the shootings. Cases in point, Paul Ryan. Reports out of Texas are devastating. The people of Sutherland Springs need our prayers right now. Vice President Pence, in part, Karen and I send prayers to victims and their families in Texas. John Cornyn, truly heartbreaking news in Sutherland Springs. Please say a prayer for First Baptist Congregation, first responders, and community there. Joe Manchin, who tried and failed to pass bipartisan gun measures after the Sandy Hook massacre, said this: Gail and I are broken, heartbroken to learn of the shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas.
Which that's what you do when something like this happens at a church. You pray for them and you offer support in a manner that Christians are going to feel comfortable with.
Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Don't get me wrong, prayers are important. They really are. But can we just be honest for a moment? And this isn't about religion, it's not about politics. Democrats do it too. President Obama has responded similarly in other shootings. And it's not about religion. As I said, I'm not anti-thoughts and prayers by any means. I grew up in the very religious Deep South. A Baptist who went to a Catholic school where we prayed at least four times a day, plus Mass on Fridays and church on Sundays, sometimes twice. So spare me the anti-religion tweets. You can keep them. I won't even read them. I don't care. These God-fearing Christians were in church. They were already praying. Thoughts and prayers did not stop an oversight from the justice system.
As he's reading from a teleprompter, he's saying this.
Who attacked his stepson and assaulted his wife from getting a gun. Thoughts and prayers didn't stop a troubled person from buying assault-grade weapons that took the lives of 26 people in an instant. And please don't get me wrong. This is not at all about the Second Amendment or taking guns out of the hands.
This is so upsetting to hear Don Lemon saying this and just kind of slapping Christians in the face.
I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I grew up with hunters, family members, friends all around me. Louisiana, it's all about hunting. I also think responsible adults should be able to protect their homes, their property, and themselves. But think about this. How many guns and of what caliber does one person need? Does a civilian really need an arsenal? Does a civilian really need body armor?
So, of course, Don Lemon's going to hijack a tragedy to push for more gun control legislation.
Those are the questions our leaders should be debating. Our leaders should be leading, not following, and not afraid to be honest with their constituents, even when it is unpopular, especially when really it is the constituents' lives that are at stake, and they are. Leaders stand up to lobbyists. Yes, thoughts and prayers are important. So tonight, I hope you will join me in praying that our leaders will actually do something of substance and action this time that precludes another thoughts and prayers moment. Remember this: faith without works is dead.
Well, Don Lemon, that is why in our country, we, the people, are the leaders of our country. We aren't dictated by some prime minister or some dictator like in China or in North Korea. We, the people, govern our government, and we elect who we want to represent us. So even the way he's talking about having leaders lead us, and they're the ones responsible, and they should know better, and they should just dictate law to the peasants, to the servants, to the people. That's not how our system of government works, Don Lemon. If you don't like it, leave. In America, we, the people, are the ones who make the decisions. And the American people are not going to stand for you hijacking a tragedy that happened in Sutherland, Texas, one of the worst tragedies in Texas history of this magnitude, and hijacking it so that you can try to ram down anti-Second Amendment propaganda while sitting there and insulting Christians. You know that if this tragedy of this level happened at a mosque, that you wouldn't be criticizing Muslims asking for prayers and talking about prayers, but because as Christians, you feel that you have the right, you feel like you have the moral high ground because you liberal Democrats want to demonize Christians. Well, we have Outlaw Morgan on the line. And Outlaw, what's your take on this video?
Well, let me just speak on behalf of most Americans. If I ever stood next to Don Lemon, I'm going to put my fist right in his cheek. And I'll do it happily and take the assault charge. It's not a problem. I think he's a tool, to be honest. I think most of these talking heads on CNN, MSNBC, and all these other things with their liberal moral high ground, I'm so glad you pointed that out. They love to stand up on their soapbox, you know, and it was a real tearjerker moment, man. He went real emotional with it. And it's funny because this is the hypocrisy of the liberal left or the media, period. One minute, in one breath, he says, I'm not after the Second Amendment. But then the next breath, he says what they should actually do, which is regulate magazines, capacity, rounds, etc. Take away AR-15s because AR-15s are the devil, you know, and all these other things. So it's like, let me tell you what we, the common hardworking blue-collar Americans think. Shut your mouth. Say that you pray for the families. Say it's a tragedy. And let's look at the problem at hand. The person that did this was mentally unstable, and there's a background to it. There's a trail behind the guy. The guy, domestic violence charges, all these other things, dishonorably discharged. People knew that this guy had issues, and this is the
problem.
And
it was a man with a gun who stopped him from killing more. President Trump even mentioned how you could have seen hundreds dead. You could have seen way more dead if a citizen, a law-abiding citizen, didn't have the right to bear arms, didn't have the right to go out there and respond quickly. The police are never going to be able to respond quick enough to these type of situations. And any criminal can get their hands on a gun illegally. You don't have to go through the background check necessarily. You can get guns on the black market.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and let's also look at the fact, too, right? Like, there's one thing that mainstream media is not ever going to tell the American people, which is the truth, which is facts, statistics, evidence. I think we're down to like 3% gun violence, 4% gun violence. There's over 360 million guns in America. And, you know, I think at this point there's something to the effect of like 16 million concealed carry permit holders. Guns are not the issue. It's the person that actually has the firearm. Gun violence is actually much lower than what the American people believe. If all you watch is CNN, you're probably terrified to even come out of your own house. I think what we need to focus on is we need to kill political correctness that's making it impossible for Americans to go out there and actually do the work, like report this guy that had the gun. We all knew he was a problem way before he became a problem, just like the thing with the San Bernardino, you know?
Exactly. You know, that's exactly what we're looking at. And every time the Democrats go ahead and try to push for more gun control, they don't do well in the polls. The people don't want it. We'll be right back after this short break on The War Room.
All right, we got the crew in here. Delusionally happy. Let's hear Trump. What's going on here?
We will double our growth. Strongest
I can't. I mean, look, the thing is, the good people never realize we have the power over scum. We have to rediscover that.
Get along with us. We will be. We'll have great relationships. We expect to have great, great relationships.
Leanne, get over here. Pull your chair up.
No dream is too big. No challenge is too great. Nothing we want for our future is beyond our reach.
Let's hear from Trump.
America
history's happening.
Will no longer settle for anything for hours. Less than the best. Partnership, not conflict.
Hey, look, and now, how big? You've been in the career,
this moment,
nine administrations, in four of them. Is this the biggest thing ever?
Without any question, look, I thought Reagan's election was the greatest political high you could have. This is 10 times better.
I want to thank my parents, who I know are looking down on me.
The public only knew how good it was. That's why they're so scared. Jesus. God, no wonder they're freaking out. They've got our phones tapped, everything. They're hearing the conversations behind the scenes.
So they know,
watching Donald
so
Trump.
So they know what we're really thinking.
We are articles every day. They're shitting their pants. It freaks me out. My whole life has been victory.
I love you, and I thank you, and especially for putting up with all of those hours. This was tough. This was tough. This political stuff is nasty, and it's tough. So I want to thank my family very much. Really fantastic. Thank you all. Thank you all. And Lara, unbelievable job. Unbelievable. Vanessa,
I mean,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, thank we just beat much. The media. We beat George Soros.
What a
we
great
beat the
course.
Rothschilds. We beat the Rockefellers.
You've all given me such incredible support, and I will tell you that we have a large group of people. You know, they kept saying we have a small staff. Not so small. Look at all the people that we have. Look at all of these people. And Kellyanne and Chris.
Now we got to make sure we build this country and hire people and Steve, really and David, do good.
We got to deliver now,
Roger.
We have got.
You just promised people we're going to give them jobs and build this country. I'm going to bust my ass to do it.
It's been very,
you know, it is. You run a company. You want to believe in your people. They belong to you, and you are them. They're part of you. They help you. You help them.
Unbelievable.
Turn it up.
Senator Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. There we go, baby. This will be a day long remembered.
Great man. Another great man. Very tough competitor. He was not easy. He was not easy. Who is that? Is that the mayor that showed up? That's Rudy? Oh, Rudy got up here.
It's going on. It's fun.
Another great man who has been really a friend to me. But I'll tell you, I got to know him as a competitor because he was one of the folks that was negotiating to go against those Democrats. Dr. Ben Carson. Where's Ben? Where is Ben? And by the way, Mike Huckabee is here someplace, and he is fantastic. Mike and his family, Sarah, thank you very much. General Mike Flynn.
Yes.
Look, where is Mike?
Yeah, Flynn's great. And none of this is perfect. The point is, he's not out to get us. This is a major victory. This is going to shake the world.
And admirals that
we should talk about how they're going to counterstrike. Well, they're going to be a counterstrike.
People, and it's really an honor. We have 22.
We have all day tomorrow to talk about
Medal of Honor recipients.
Tonight, I just want to celebrate.
People.
I agree.
A very special person who, believe me, and you know, I'd read reports that I wasn't getting along with him. I never had a bad second with him. He's an unbelievable star. He is, that's right, how did you possibly guess? So let me tell you about Reince. And I've said this. I said Reince, and I know it. I know it. Look at all those people over there. I know it. Reince is a superstar. But I said, they can't call you a superstar, Reince, unless we win. Because you can't be called a superstar like Secretariat. If Secretariat came in second, Secretariat would not have that big, beautiful bronze bus at the track at Belmont. But I'll tell you, Reince is really a star. And he is the hardest working guy. And in a certain way, I did this right.
Well, I say this. We have reached the main shield generator. You may start your landing.
Boy, oh boy.
Target maximum firepower.
It's about time you did this right.
Ooh, a little jab there for 2012.
What are you talking about?
Oh, about time you did this right.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the next president of the United States.
Up there.
Donald Trump! Thank you. It's been an honor.
God. Yeah, yeah. It's a great honor. We tried to put in our little blue-eyed baby, Paul Ryan, but it's okay.
Law enforcement in New York City, they're here tonight. These are spectacular people, sometimes underappreciated, unfortunately, but we appreciate them. We know what they go through. So, it's been what they call a historic event, but to be really historic, we have to do a great job. And I promise
that's right, you got to deliver
now,
buddy.
I will not let you down. We will do a great show.
He told me, he said, I won't let you down.
I look very much forward to being your president.
Got my
and
taxes,
hopefully at
baby.
The end of 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or maybe even 8 years, you will say, so many of you worked so hard for us, but you will say that that was something that you were really were very proud to do. And I
this
can,
is surreal.
Thank
this victory is truly
and I can only say
good.
That while the campaign is over, our work on this movement is now really just beginning.
That's right. The battle starts now. We have to
we're
deliver
to
tax cuts, industry jobs, not wars.
And we're going to be...
Tell me, Roger, he's not going to start a war, right?
I don't think he'll start a war.
Please, God, I've got enough of those.
President, you'll be so proud. Again, it's my honor. It was an amazing evening. It's been an amazing two-year period. And I love this country.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And thank you.
It is my high honor.
Here we go.
And distinct privilege to introduce to you the president-elect of the United States.
Is this Valhalla? Is this the best moment in your political life?
It's amazing.
Take my hand.
It's awesome.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality.
You know, Wolf is choking on this.
Political journey with astounding upset.
Schroyer, get in here. Everybody get in here.
Will become get Leanne in here. 45th president.
He better deliver now, though. Yeah, he's told me he will. He's
a campaign unlike anything we've seen.
His spirit was so much better than hers. Oh, give me champagne immediately.
Wins the presidency. Of the United States.
You're talking. This is good.
President-elect Donald Trump. He's walking up right now. You see him right there. He's going to be speaking momentarily. He's got his wife there.
History
has been made. Jake, this is a moment.
These bankers wanted to keep us poor. Be tax exempt while they effed us.
In the history of this
get ready. You're about to get effed right back.
Who has never held
an Islamicist
job in government.
Here come cruise missiles.
Rod Buckley, this is the good stuff.
Fifth Avenue. To Pennsylvania Avenue. I think it's a moment that a lot of people.
Uma's getting moved out of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Whatever happened, but
I think Uma's going to jail.
A decisive win.
No more spirit vendors.
That we haven't even.
I hear that she and her husband are both plea bargaining.
Win was so over.
Let's get ready. Here goes Trump.
Right now,
he's there. With
turn it up, Donald J. Trump.
He's going up to the microphones. He's going to be
the golden toad.
Speech. I assume he'll mention the phone call he received.
Get ready. I tell you, he charges into a goblin's nest.
This is amazing.
As long as he doesn't.
President-elect of the United
States. As long as he doesn't kiss a goblin, goblins vomit. Catch him in bed with a goblin.
If your name is Donald J.
I don't think there's any danger of that.
No, he defeated the goblins. He did it.
We'll analyze the results. That looks like that's
here you go again.
Right now.
Yeah.
Think about. In what the new Trump-led world here in Washington.
Wonder what Mr. Maddow is going to be saying tomorrow.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
I heard that she was a little depressed tonight.
Oh, you heard that? She won't be able to make people poor and screw people over and, like, F blacks over anymore? Oh, sorry, there's big tax cuts coming for the communities.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Millie Weaver filling in for Owen Schwer. We have another awesome video coming up right now. It is Trump's epic victories, an amazing compilation. Let's go ahead and take a look at this awesome video.
Very, very impressed, I hope. You'll be looking at me in a year or 2 years. Let's give me a little bit of a time to run things.
Minutes of being sworn in, he was at work.
An executive order to start the rollback of Obamacare.
President Donald Trump has just signed an executive order to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal.
President Trump saying this morning that for every new regulation that's written, two have to go.
Following through on one campaign promise, his vow to institute a five-year lobbying ban for all departing members of Congress and their staff.
This is a five-year ban. So you have one last chance to get out.
And this is the protection of the nation from foreign terrorist entry into the United States. We all know what that means.
The chaos, confusion, and anger growing in the wake of President Trump's immigration ban.
Judge Robart's decision, effective immediately, effective now, puts a halt to President Trump's unconstitutional and unlawful executive order. I want to repeat that. It puts a
Supreme Court victory. It's really amazing to see how much Trump has accomplished in such a short period of time.
The nation's high court cleared the way yesterday to reinstate key aspects of the president's travel ban
to strictly enforce a ban on refugees.
The president signed his order to begin the process of building the border wall.
I'm a builder. That's what I love to do. That's probably what I do best.
Build the wall, fulfilling one of his campaign promises.
South Texas are reportedly underway.
movement of illegal aliens across the border in the last 6 months or so, but certainly post 20 January, is down by 70%.
That Trump is the wall. God bless the USA.
It's amazing to see how much he has accomplished in such a short period of time.
120-year history, and it is done.
NASDAQ topped 6,000 for the first time ever.
More than 2,000 points since the election.
It's like a party down there today, Lori.
It is another record finish for the Dow.
The Dow has been up.
Small businesses,
record highs
now are booming.
The unemployment rate at the lowest level since May 2001.
Woo!
Level with most economists and frankly business leaders.
Feels good seeing us win.
Picked up in market value.
Winning feels good, America.
In the first 2 months in office, Trump reduced debt by $100 billion.
Just showing some awesome clips of Trump's victories and people celebrating.
I am asking everyone watching tonight to seize this moment. Believe in yourselves. Believe in your future. And believe once more in America.
He became president of the United States in that moment. Period.
The Trump administration's plans do not stop here on Earth. It also has a very ambitious and very Trumpian plan for space domination.
Congress took formal steps on Thursday to establish a dedicated fighting force for space.
Our nation will return to the moon and we will put American boots on the face of Mars.
Dire threat from North Korean state media to start your weekend off.
Take the toughest counteraction against those who have provoked us.
We are sending an armada.
What happened in Syria is a disgrace to humanity. And he's there, and I guess he's running things.
It's kind of hard to hear this, but it's just showing.
The U.S. has reportedly launched dozens of cruise missiles at a Syrian government target.
And we had the most beautiful piece of chocolate cake that you've ever seen.
Doesn't that undermine...
Very fakeness.
I know, but aren't you...
The largest non-nuclear weapon ever deployed.
Great. I mean, thumbs up. This is Donald Trump reasserting us on the world stage as the superpower that we are.
EPA awards $100 million to Flint water crisis recovery.
Today, I am keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch.
I have concluded that I cannot support a man with his views for a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the most important judicial...
66 days since he was nominated by President Trump, Federal Appeals Court Judge Neil Gorsuch was confirmed.
You say that you have an unique personality that is capable of doing the impossible.
That's very interesting.
I agree.
Drive them out.
Trump visiting the Pope.
NATO members must finally contribute their fair share and meet their,
you know, this video is just really kind of showing how much Trump has done since he's been in office. It's really amazing to see when you actually have a compilation like this, put everything together, you realize that this guy is ready to make changes in America, and he has been working very hard to do so.
Did y'all see President Trump push his ass out the way?
It was a very, very successful trip.
As the VA is on the path to recovery.
He's set to make a major announcement on whether the United States will back out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
The United States will withdraw.
USA!
Woo! That's probably one of my favorites right there, withdrawing from the Paris Climate Change Accord Agreement. Woo! That one was so amazing. Bring back coal, bring back power back to America. That was one of his promises. And really, for me, that was one of the big ones as to why I supported him.
Popular with boys.
Republicans have won all four House special elections to replace appointees to the Trump administration.
Even the New York Times corrected a story this week in which it also falsely claimed that all 17 intel agencies agreed on Russia.
More people and then, of course, we've got the
CNN memes and the fake news out there spinning the Russia story.
With the North Korean regime has failed.
What are we doing right now in terms of North Korea?
You never know, do you? You never know.
We will never back down.
They see me rolling, they hating, trolling and trying to kiss me riding.
Trump's looking pretty OG in that walk right there. Giving some handshakes, looking really cool, thug life. That's what Trump's really all about. Looking thug life over here. Trump with Putin. Oh, all those haters claiming that Trump's conspiring and colluding with Putin. There he is, sitting right there.
The spirit of revolution and the fight for freedom.
Trump putting on cowboy hats. He's just really a pretty playful president. Pretty awesome to see.
First time in 6 years. That was made possible by a Russia-U.S. brokered ceasefire deal in the region.
Across the border today, Iraq's prime minister declared victory over ISIS in Mosul.
The best armed, most dangerous terrorist group in the world has lost its biggest city. The self-declared caliphate, the so-called Islamic State, is no more.
Separately, there's word that President Trump is ending a CIA program to arm and train moderate rebels in Syria. On Wall Street, tech and healthcare stocks fueled a day of record highs across the board.
6 months in, the left is mired in hate. Let's hope hate loses and growth wins.
Well, that is pretty amazing to see just how much Trump has accomplished during the short time that he has been president. Now, he hasn't been president for a year because the inauguration is in January, but it's, you know, he was elected a year from today, and that's why we're celebrating. So make sure you guys tune in to the American Rebirth and Renaissance 34-hour live coverage broadcast that we have coming up. It's going to be starting at 6 p.m., and you are not going to want to miss it. So stay tuned, guys.